for us, please.
All right, thank you very much. And we have heard all the minion jokes, of course. We were in one, or I was at a church one time at a meeting by myself, and my wife was at home right before Emma was born, and they had me come up to the platform, and someone had bought me an adult size set of footy pajamas. They had minions all over them, had a hood with the big eyes on the top of it and everything. And so they give this to me in front of the whole church, and probably 300 people there, and they're all laughing and at my expense. And the pastor said, "Now, if you want Brother Minion to put this on and come back out, say amen." And of course, everyone says amen, because they're all having a good time. And, you know, I wasn't really. But anyway, I didn't do it, and they didn't make me, so I was very thankful for that. But anyway, it's been such a blessing to be here, and been such an encouragement to fellowship with many of you. Of course, being there in Goose Bay is just our family and the Dinsmores that are, you know, we're the only ones that are solid, dedicated Christians, and it's been such a blessing to be able to talk and spend time with like-minded believers that are dedicated to the Lord and serving God and in a good church, and it's been such a blessing to be here, and we're certainly very thankful for Pastor inviting us to come down, and it's been such a blessing. We thank you very much. We're going to be in Acts chapter 1 tonight. Book of Acts, chapter 1. And of course, this is a very familiar passage to us when we talk about missions. But in Acts chapter 1, we find the last words that Jesus Christ spoke on this earth before he ascended back up into heaven. And Jesus had several important things that he wanted to communicate to his disciples and also to you and I as well. And it's often said that last words are the most important that someone could ever say. And so we need to pay close attention to what Jesus had to say, the last words he had to say before he ascended back into heaven. So let's start by reading Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8. And Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he said, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Let's pray as we begin the message tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the opportunity to open your word. Such a blessing to gather in church tonight and to fellowship with believers and to see what you have for us out of your word tonight. I pray that you would speak to our hearts and help us have a vision for the world and see what we can do as a church and as individuals to reach others around this lost and dying world. We thank you for what you're going to do tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, this verse here is called the Great Commission. The Great Commission is an unfinished task. It's an unfinished task. What do I mean by that? Well, let's go back and read verse number 1 and 2. It says, "The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen." Now, the apostle Luke is the writer of the book of Acts, and he says in verse 1, he says, "The former treatise I have made, O Theophilus." All right, so he's saying to this person, Theophilus, "I've written a book, a treatise." And of course, that's the Gospel of Luke. "And in that book, I wrote all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day that he was taken up." Everything that he did from when he was born on this earth until he ascended back into heaven, he recorded the life of Jesus Christ on earth, the things that he taught and the things that he did. But he said, now there's this one last command from Christ. There's this one last thing that Jesus said that you need to hear. And here it is. Reach the world with the gospel. Reach the world with the gospel. And Luke is trying to convey that to us as readers, you know, 2,000 years later. That's still our job. Reach the world with the gospel. This command that Jesus gave to his disciples before he ascended up into heaven is still our responsibility as well. When Jesus was on earth, he began to do and to teach, but he left you and I with the responsibility to finish his work. Jesus never went outside of Israel to preach the gospel to others, but he commanded his disciples to reach to the uttermost parts of the earth with the gospel. And he commands us to continue the work that he started while he was here on earth. Jesus said, "He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father." So Jesus ascended back into heaven to prepare a place for us, but he left us with a responsibility to finish the work that he began. And our responsibility is to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, for the night cometh when no man can work." You know, the time that we have allotted to us is limited. The amount of time that we can be involved in this great task of reaching the world with the gospel is limited. People must be reached with the gospel before it's everlastingly too late. You know, Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. That was his work. He provided redemption for mankind. But he left you and I with the responsibility of making sure that everyone else hears about the fact that Jesus could redeem their soul. Jesus commanded that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. But let me ask you a question. Has the gospel been preached in every nation? Has everyone had a chance to trust Christ as their Savior? No. That's an unfinished task. That's a great task. And we must work to spread the gospel until Jesus comes back. Secondly, we see there's an unquestionable love. An unquestionable love. Look at verse number 3. Verse number 3 says, "To whom, to the apostles, also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God." Now it says, after his passion. In other words, after he died on the cross and rose again, he appeared to the disciples by many infallible proofs, many indisputable or unquestionable proofs that he had bodily risen from the tomb. Now, Jesus Christ has an unquestionable love for his followers and for the whole world. He demonstrated that love in the greatest way possible by giving his life so that we could be saved and so that others could be saved. God's love for us is unquestionable, is it not? There's no question about the fact that God loves us. Romans 5:8 says that God commendeth or demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Ephesians 2 says, "God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, he hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved." 1 John says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." What a privilege it is to be called the children of God. And that's only by God's great love. 1 John, a different verse, says, "In this was manifested or made known the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. And hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us." What an unquestionable love it is. What an unquestionable love it is that God has for us and for the whole world. And of course, we're familiar with the verse in 2 Peter 3:9 where it says, "God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." God's love extends to the farthest reaches of this world. God's love is freely offered to all. The love of God transcends any social boundaries or political boundaries or cultural or racial boundaries. There is no respect of persons with God, but he loves everyone and wants them to have an opportunity to hear the gospel. The love of God is unquestionable. It was a selfless love that sacrificed everything to die on the cross for our sins. It was a love that brought him resurrected out of the tomb. It's a love that freely offers salvation to anyone and everyone, whosoever will. And this unquestionable love must be shared with the whole world. You know, there are millions of people tonight that right now that are depressed, that are in despair because they think no one cares for them. They think no one loves them. But they don't know that God loves them with the greatest love imaginable. When we first arrived there in Labrador, Darren had been working with a fellow who had many problems, and we're not going to talk about that. But one night he texted us and said, "Can you come over and talk to me?" And when we got over there, we took him down to Tim Hortons and got him a coffee, and he said, my family is blaming me for my grandmother dying 20 years ago. And he was suicidal. And he thought his whole family had turned against him. He thought no one cared about him. No one loved him. And so he was talking about committing suicide. And thankfully he didn't. And we're still trying to work with him a little bit. We haven't seen him in a while. He's not saved. And you could pray for him. His name is Joseph. But he doesn't know about the love of God. The unquestionable love of God. He doesn't understand that. And there are millions of people around this world in the exact same situation as that man. They have no idea that God loves them and wants them to be saved. How is a lost person going to hear about the great love of God if you and I do not proclaim it to them? If we don't share the gospel with them, how are they going to hear that God loves them and that He can change their life? So the love of God is what the lost need to hear about. But the love of God is also what motivates us to tell people about Christ. As we talked about on Sunday morning, the love of Christ constraineth us. It motivates us to share the love of God with others. We have to put forth every effort. We must go to any expense to share the unquestionable love of God with this lost and dying world. Now let's look at verse number 4. And we find an undeniable power. An undeniable power. Verse number 4. It says, being assembled together with them, Jesus with the disciples, He commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith He, ye have heard of Me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of Him, saying, Lord, wilt Thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And He said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in His own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Here we see an undeniable power, the power of God, the power of the Holy Spirit working through a Christian that is dedicated to God. Jesus promised the disciples that they would be empowered by the Holy Spirit. They and all believers would have the presence of the Holy Spirit dwelling in their hearts and helping us as we try to work in this great task of reaching the world with the gospel. You know, back in John chapter 14, Jesus told His disciples that He would ascend back to the Father, but He would leave when He was gone. Another Comforter would come alongside. The Holy Spirit would come alongside them and indwell them and empower them to do the work of God effectively. You know, it's impossible for us to be effective in this great task of reaching people with the gospel if we don't have the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, we can try to witness and hand out tracts and invite people to church all we want, but if we're not doing it in the power of the Holy Spirit, we're wasting our time. The power of the Holy Spirit is not something spooky, like some people like to believe. The Holy Spirit does many things for us as Christians. Of course, He indwells us, He empowers us. But in regards to taking the gospel to the lost, what does the Holy Spirit do? How does He help us as we try to reach people with the gospel? Well, as we talk to someone, He gives us wisdom to know what to say to that person. He helps us remember the verses that we have learned. He helps us recall things in the Word of God that might help that person. And we cannot see it, but the Holy Spirit is convicting that person of sin and righteousness and judgment. We can't see God working in their heart, but He is. They might be resisting it, but God is gently knocking at their heart's door and saying, won't you open the door? Won't you let me in? And we can't see that work, but God is at work in their heart. You know, we cannot convince someone to be saved because of our personality or our words or anything else. We cannot trick someone into being saved. The Holy Spirit must work in their heart. They must understand that they've sinned and that they cannot save themselves and that they need Jesus Christ to save them. And that is why we have to have the power of the Holy Spirit to be effective in this great work of reaching people with the gospel. This promise of an undeniable power is fulfilled many times throughout the book of Acts. We'll look at a few examples of that in a few minutes. But the whole world sat up and took note of what God was doing through the lives of these apostles. The Holy Spirit has an undeniable power to work in the heart of the Christian, but also in the heart of the unbeliever. So then we come to verse 8, and we see an unmistakable plan. an unmistakable plan. Verse number 8 says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Now Jesus commanded his disciples to take the gospel to all the world. The plan to spread the gospel is unmistakable. God recorded the Great Commission for us 5 different times. It's in each one of the Gospels in some different format. And then here in Acts 1:8. And there is no question about what God wants us to do with the gospel. There's no question about to whom we are supposed to proclaim the gospel. To everyone. To every creature. To the uttermost parts of the earth. There's no doubt about it. It's an unmistakable plan. Now, God did not limit the spread of the gospel just to the Jewish people there in Israel. He didn't limit the spread of the gospel just to people in the surrounding areas, but he wants the gospel to be proclaimed to the uttermost parts of the earth. Now, in verse 8, Jesus divided up the world into several geographical sections. Okay, he says, "Ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem." Now, he was telling them to start evangelizing the people around them. Start with the people you know, your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, your family members, the people at the grocery store, people in your community. Not everyone's going to listen. Not everyone's going to trust Christ as their Savior, but we are commanded to be witnesses to them. Then Jesus said, "Be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea." And he was saying, start evangelizing people where you live, but don't stop there. Go to the next town over where there is no Bible preaching church. Go to the next county. Go to the next province. Just start where you live and expand the witness out from that center. And then he says, "Ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria." And as we talked about the other night, Sunday night, the Samaritan people were the outcasts of society during that day. The Jewish people tried to avoid having contact with the Samaritans. But Jesus said they need to be reached with the gospel too. He said, don't limit the gospel just to your Jewish people, but take it to the Samaritans. Take it to those people that are the social outcasts. It doesn't matter who someone is or what color their skin is or what they've done or where they live. God loves them and they still need to be saved just as much as you and I need to be saved. God's love goes beyond those social and cultural boundaries. And that's what Jesus was trying to tell his disciples. But it doesn't stop there. It says, "Ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Jesus is saying, take the gospel to the farthest corners of this world. He was saying, don't leave any place out. Take the message of redemption to the farthest country. Take it to the place that's hard to get to. Take it to that place where you can't speak their language. To every tongue, to every tribe, to every nation. Everyone needs to have an opportunity to know Jesus Christ's love and receive that forgiveness and salvation. Now, we have these 4 geographical areas and 4 groups of people. The thing we must remember is no one of these groups is more important than the others. It's easy to focus on our area here and forget the rest of the world. For some churches, they focus on the rest of the world and forget to evangelize their community. We can't do that because then we're not fulfilling the Great Commission. If we leave any part of it out, we're not fulfilling God's command like He wants us to. We cannot focus on one area and ignore the others. Your neighbor needs the gospel just as much as someone in Labrador or Iraq or in China. And those people over there need it just as much as your neighbor right here down the road. And we must not ignore other areas and focus on one and forget the rest. Now, Jesus commanded the gospel be taken to the whole world, but he also gives a command about who must do this job, who must take the gospel. All right? It says, "Ye shall be witnesses unto me." He didn't say, "Pastors shall be witnesses unto me," or "missionaries," or "Christian school teachers," or anything like that. He said, "Ye, Christians, believers, disciples, people that know Jesus Christ as their Savior, shall be witnesses unto me to the uttermost part of the earth." You know, Paul reinforces that command in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And I'll just read you the verse. We looked at it on Sunday. But it says that God has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. It says God has committed to us the word of reconciliation. And it says that we are ambassadors for Christ. Just as if God was, or Jesus Christ was here, we're speaking in his place and begging you to be reconciled to God. Now, does that mean that every Christian is supposed to be a pastor or become a missionary and go to another country or another place? No. It simply means that God wants every Christian to be a witness. God wants every Christian to tell others about the gospel. God needs people who will stay and serve in the local church faithfully and hold the ropes for those that do go to those other places. You know, the local church plays a huge part in missions. Missions is impossible without a church, without a local church. Where do future missionaries come from? From churches. Who prays for the missionary? The church and the people in the church. Who supports the missionary financially? The churches. Where does encouragement for the missionary come from? From the churches. It's impossible for a missionary to go anywhere without local churches behind him. God needs faithful people to support those and pray for those that go. God needs dedicated Christians who try to reach the community here where you live and send others to other places. You know, no matter what God's specific will is for you, whether it's to stay here and be involved in missions through your church, or whether it's to go to Labrador or to Russia or to somewhere else around this world, everyone can do something to help reach the lost, young and old alike. You can pray, you can encourage, you can write an email, send a note. Everyone can do something to help reach people with the gospel. It's so easy to just sit back in our pews and enjoy the blessings of salvation and forget about the rest of the world. I've been there too. But it's so easy. But we can't do that. We must help share the gospel with others. God's plan is unmistakable. God wants every believer to be involved in reaching the whole world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Back here in Acts chapter 1 and verse number 9, we see an unstoppable force. An unstoppable force. Verse number 9 says, "When he, Jesus, had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, 'Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven?'" And we'll stop there for a moment. Notice they just stood there. It says they looked steadfastly toward heaven for a few minutes while he ascended up into heaven. Jesus had just told them exactly what to do. He had just told them how to reach the world, given them this plan, told them that the power of God would be behind them, and they stood there as if they were waiting for him to immediately return. And these two men in white apparel said, "Hey, why are you just standing there? He just told you what to do. Go get busy. Jesus is coming back, but until he comes, go reach the world. Go do what he said." And these two men in white apparel, at the beginning of verse 11, he said, "Ye men of Galilee." Something we have to understand is these men of Galilee, these disciples, these apostles, were regular people just like you and I. They were uneducated fishermen. There was a tax collector that was hated by everyone. These are regular people. But because of the power of God behind them, they became an unstoppable force in spreading the gospel to the known world. The disciples were an unlikely group of people to reach the world. Okay? Uneducated fishermen standing up and preaching, and 3,000 people trust Christ in one service. God used these men of Galilee, these regular people, to do great things. We can look through the book of Acts and see how the power of God through the lives of these people was an unstoppable force. Acts chapter 2 and verse number 4 says that they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Of course, this is the day of Pentecost. At the end of Acts 2 and verse 41, it says, "They that gladly received his word were baptized, and on the same day there were added unto them 3,000 souls." In Acts chapter 4, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. They marveled. They took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. They could tell that they had spent time with Jesus. And beholding the man that they had just healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. The Pharisees tried to stop the disciples and stop them from preaching, but they said, What can we do to these men? There indeed a notable miracle has been done by them. It's known to everyone in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. The high priest later on said of the apostles, he said, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine. The whole city has heard. Some of the apostles were thrown into prison for preaching the gospel, and that night the angel of the Lord set them free, and the angel said, go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. And the apostles rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for the name of Jesus. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. They were an unstoppable force, not because of who they were, not because they were anything special, but because of the power of God in their lives. The Bible says in Acts chapter 6, the word of God increased. The number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. The church began to be persecuted in Acts chapter 8. And many Christians were scattered. But it says, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word of God, spreading the gospel. In Acts chapter 17, Paul and Silas and several others had gone to Thessalonica to preach. And the unbelievers in that place said, those people that have turned the world upside down, they're coming here too. What an amazing statement that is of simple men of Galilee. They turned the world upside down. By the way, I don't think they turned it upside down. I think they turned it right side up with the gospel. The Bible says that the word of God grew mightily and prevailed. At the end of the book of Acts, the Apostle Paul is under house arrest, but he was still preaching the kingdom of God, teaching the things of Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. Now, all of those things, do those things sound like what these simple men of Galilee could do on their own? No. An uneducated fisherman standing up to preach and 3,000 people being saved, 5,000 people being saved, the next chapter. What about political leaders saying that these simple fishermen turn the world upside down? All of these things are a great demonstration of the power of God through the life of someone who is surrendered to God and dedicated to serving Him and allowing God to use them. Now, most of us, we are just regular people like those men of Galilee. We work regular jobs. We have bills to pay. We have families to feed. But let me ask you a question. Are you allowing God to use you to reach others with the gospel? The power of God is not limited to the apostles. The power of God was not limited to the book of Acts in that time period. The power of God is available for us for God to work and use us to reach others with the gospel. Is the undeniable power of God at work in your life? The power of God is not limited, as I said, to the apostles. Are you allowing God to use you to make a difference in someone else's life by sharing the gospel? You probably won't be able to stand up and preach and see 3,000 people saved. You probably won't be able to heal the lame man like Peter did. You won't be able to do those miracles, but God can use your testimony. God could use your witness to bring a lost person to trust Christ as their Savior. The power of God in the lives of those apostles made them into an unstoppable force, not because of who they were, but because they allowed God to work through them. Those who opposed Christ tried to do everything they could to stop the work of God, but people were still saved. Lives were still changed. Churches were still established. And yes, the Christians went through hardships. Some were persecuted. Some were even put to death. But no matter what happened, the power of God was unstoppable in those men's lives. And that can be the same for you and I as well. If we surrender to God and allow Him to work through us, God can do great things through each of us. Now look back at verse number 11 there in Acts chapter 1. And we see an unfailing promise. There's an unfailing promise. These two men in white apparel said to them, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Here we have the unfailing promise of God that Jesus is coming again. He did not say when he was coming, but he said, I will come again. He said, I will come again and I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Now Jesus always keeps his promises. His promises are not always fulfilled when we think they should be, but they are always kept. God always keeps His promises. If He said He's going to come again, He is coming again. Jesus has given us a great task to reach the lost with the gospel. But when He comes, is He going to find us faithfully working at that task? Is He going to find us faithfully representing Him to the lost? Jesus said that we must watch, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. We have to get busy. We have to do the work that God has given us. We don't know when Christ is coming back, but He is coming again. There's an unfinished task. Millions of people around this world have never heard about the love of God. The undeniable power of God is necessary for us to fulfill the plan that God has given us to reach the lost with the gospel. The power of God can be an unstoppable force if we allow God to work through our lives. And Christ has given us an unfailing promise that He will come again. Will we be ready to meet Christ when He comes? Will we be faithfully trying to complete that task that He has given us? Will we have crowns to lay at His feet when we stand in His presence? Will there be more souls in heaven because of our efforts to reach people with the gospel? I trust that there will be. That's our responsibility. Jesus said, "Ye shall be witnesses unto me, wherever you are, whoever you meet." That's what the Bible says. We must be involved in trying to reach people with the gospel. Heads bowed and eyes closed. And with no one looking around tonight, maybe you would say with me, by uplifted hand, "I've been reminded tonight that there are many souls without Jesus Christ, and I want to make a commitment to God that I'm going to try to do more to reach the lost in this coming year, whether it's praying for laborers or giving so others can go, or going myself, or trying to reach the lost here where I live." If you could say that with me, would you simply raise your hand so I could pray for you? Many hands. Wonderful. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for the opportunity again to open Your Word. I pray that You'd help us understand this great plan that You've given us, the great responsibility that You've given to us as your disciples. I pray that You would help each of us to do more in the coming year, to reach others, to send people around the world to reach others in places that we cannot go. I pray that You'd help us to keep reaching people with the gospel at the forefront of our mind instead of forgetting about it and pushing it to the back burner because we have more important things to do. I pray that You'd help us to focus on what is really important in life, and that is serving You and being a testimony to others. And we thank You so much for the faithfulness of this church and the people in it. I pray that You'd help each of us to take another step in our service for You as we try to honor You with our lives and as we try to be a witness to the lost all around us and around the world. We thank You so much for the privilege of serving You, but help us to be faithful to that responsibility as well. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much, Brother Mitch.